I'm reading from the fifth chapter of Matthew today. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Thanks, Pat. That just keeps coming back. I'm just going to get rid of this. I'll be right back. There we go. Let's pray together. Father, what Jesus told us in this passage, frankly, we don't know if we have the strength to do. But we're being honest. And we simply ask that you would give us that ability, give us that strength, and help us obey you. We can't do it on our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed that not all words carry equal weight? That sometimes what we hear out of someone's mouth somehow has more gravity than other people? I tend to take things more seriously when my wife says something to me. I don't take it nearly as seriously as if somebody just says it to me on the street. I tend to take the words of people who are in authority over me at work than people on the radio. Interestingly enough, I tend to take people who agree with me more seriously than those who I disagree with. I'm sure I'm alone in this. None of you would even think of that. The words of laws I tend to take seriously, whether it's our city, county, state, or nation. I used to be in sports. The words of a coach are always taken seriously. But the question I want us to think about this morning is, how seriously do we take the words of Jesus? How seriously do we take the words of Jesus? When you read the New Testament, I doubt any of you have a pair of scissors in your hands. When you're reading the New Testament, I doubt that there is, when you come to a passage that you either do not like or do not understand or simply do not want to pay attention to, I don't think you just cut that out and leave it alone. I don't think you've ever defaced your Bible, but you know what we have done? We read them, and then we forget them. We read the words, and we ignore them. And we sometimes say, oh, those words are just too hard. Or we try and justify ourselves. Oh, those words, I can't do it. Or they were made for another time. Or God is speaking in a hyperbole. I think Jesus speaks and he intends us to take him seriously. I think when Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he intended his disciples not only to hear what he had to say, I think he intended them to do it. So let's take a look and see the last section of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. Jesus starts off in that way he's done now. This is the sixth time he's done this. You have heard that it was said, This is how Jesus is going to say, look, this is how you understood the Old Testament, maybe the law. This is how you understand God's will. This is how you have been taught. This is what you have done. Now, this is the law. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And that's found in Exodus chapter 21, Leviticus 24, Deuteronomy 19. This is called the Lex Talionis. Lex Talionis. It is the legislative legal system of retribution. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, limb for a limb, life for a life. And you're thinking, wow, that's pretty harsh. Well, actually, you know what they're doing? They're limiting how much you can do in retaliation to another individual. I had a brother. My brother is 10 and a half months younger than I am. I think I've told you about Jeff. You've never seen Jeff. I don't know if you will. But when we were younger, we tended to fight. Did anybody have a brother or sister they fought with at all? Yeah, we would fight. And you know what? Our fights always escalated. Because he would do something to me, and then I would do something to him and add 50%. If he hit me so hard, I hit him harder. If he hit me once, I hit him twice. If I hit him twice, he hit me three times. If he hit me three times, I hit him five times. And we kept escalating, and it gets larger. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Israelites had the same process. You knock out a tooth, I'm going to knock out all your teeth. No, you lose one tooth. You lock out an eye, I'll blind you. Nope, you get one eye. Well, he took my limb, I'm going to kill him. Nope, you get a limb. It was a limitation on how much you could do in vengeance, retaliation, and retribution. I tell you, Jesus said, I've got a new way of you to handle this. This is how I want you to understand is the will of God. Don't resist the evil person. Don't defend yourself. Don't defend yourself. Don't retaliate. Don't fight back. Comply with unreasonable requests. And all of a sudden we're thinking, are you serious? If somebody comes up and attacks me, I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to get them back. We live in a day and age where it's tit for tat. Do unto others before they can do to you. And Jesus said, no, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. And you say, well, how far do you expect me to carry this out? And so Jesus gives us three examples. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, and you're thinking, well, if somebody slaps me in the cheek, I'm going to knock them in the jaw. No. By the way, this is not this kind of slap. It's this kind of slap. Backhanded. And in the day of Jesus, this was a horrendous insult. This was a horrific insult. And Jesus said, if somebody slaps you that way, say, hey, you want to go for this one too? You got my right one, take my left. I'm going to make myself vulnerable before you. Romans 12 says, do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome with evil, but rather overcome evil with good. I'm not going to respond as you anticipate. I'm going to sit there and take it and say, look, take another shot. I'm not fighting back. I call an end to the violence. I call an end to the insult. I call an end to the cycle. It ends here. It's not about rights. It's about following Jesus. And then Jesus comes up with another example. If somebody is going to try and take you to court and sue you and take your shirt, the Greek says tunic, think to yourself, undershirt. Most of us are dressed differently. In the day of Jesus, you'd have a cloak and you'd have a tunic. Tunic is on the inside, cloak is on the outside. And for most of us, how many of you have too many clothes? Don't point to anyone else. Anybody, can anybody donate clothes to Goodwill recently? Yeah? Yeah. They didn't have that. They had very few clothes, and what they had was absolutely essential. The tunic was on the inside, the cloak was on the outside. The tunic is the second most important clothing article you have. It helped keep you warm. The cloak on the outside was absolutely essential. And Jesus said, if anybody tries to take you to court and they're going to do it for whatever reason, and they are going to take your tunic, give it to them. In fact, give them your cloak as well. Not only give them the second most important garment you have, give them the first important, the most essential garment you have. And you think, Jesus, this is unreasonable. I mean, what happens if all of a sudden everybody starts being this generous? What's going to happen? Jesus, this isn't right. Well, it even gets worse. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, and you're thinking, well, I don't know, what does that mean? We are not in a occupied territory. In fact, I don't ever think the United States, in the last, my memory, has ever been in occupied territory since the Revolutionary War. We are not occupied. We don't have a foreign army that's standing around expecting us to do what they need at an unreasonable request on our part. The Roman army is all over Israel. They hate them being there. They can't get rid of them. They have no other choice. They're an eyesore. They are a constant reminder of their defeat. They are just a pain. And what more is that if all of a sudden I'm walking along the road going, I'm going this way, and all of a sudden the soldier says, I want you to carry my bag a mile that way, it doesn't make any difference if I'm not going that direction or not. I have to pick that bag up, and I've got to carry his bag for 1 mile. Then he'll grab somebody else, and they'll carry it a mile. And then somebody else, and they'll carry it a mile. It was a hated custom. And Jesus said, you know what you're going to do? You're going to carry it 2 miles. You're going to carry it 2 miles. Do not be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. You're going to carry it 2. And you think, Jesus, you're stretching this loving your neighbor a little farther. And then he says, give to anyone who asks you. Give to anyone who asks you. You mean the guy on the street? Yep. You mean my neighbor? Yep. You mean, yep. Whatever it is. When somebody has a need, respond to it. And don't turn away from anyone who wants to borrow from you. You mean the guy who can never repay? Yeah, I mean that one. You mean my generosity is supposed to go this far? Yes. And you're thinking, this is such a New Testament thing. No, it really isn't. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 15, God says we're not supposed to be hard-hearted or tight-fisted, but to be open-handed and to lend freely. Apparently, God looks upon these things a little bit differently than we do. What if we held all of our possessions and all of our rights with a very loose hand? What if we gave up our offenses and we were more interested in forgiveness and rebuilding relationships than retaliation and vengeance? Imagine the bloodshed over the years. Imagine the feuds, the generations-long animosity that has raged, not just in Palestine, but in Ireland, in Africa, where because, or now in Central African Republic. If you're a Christian, you're found in a Muslim area, they'll kill you. If you're a Muslim and you're found in a Christian area, they kill you. They don't forgive you. They don't pray for you. They kill you. It's a great witness for the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, don't continue the violence. Don't continue the source. As far as you're concerned, it stops with you. Do not resist the evil person. You're going to change the way you live. How seriously do we take the words of Jesus? Verse 43 says, you have heard that it was said. Yeah, there's one more. One more where Jesus takes conventional wisdom and turns it on its head. One more where the disciples go, yeah, wow, okay. What are we going to do? You heard that it was said, love your neighbor. That's Leviticus 19:18, and we're all good with that. We've heard about it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second commandment after loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We like that. We talk about that. We applaud that. We go, yes, we want to do that. It makes sense. We want to love our neighbor. Now, you have to understand, for the Jew, a neighbor was a Jew. A Gentile was an enemy. And just think about how logical that is. All the Gentiles that have run roughshod over the nation of Israel, all the people that have come in and fought on that land, not just the Romans, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Philistines, every non-Jewish enemy they have ever had, they love their neighbor. They don't want anything to do with their enemies, the Gentiles. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Yeah, you can't find that exactly in the scripture, but you got it close. Psalm 139. Don't I hate, O Lord, don't I hate those you hate, O Lord? Don't I abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. The Qumran community, which was like the Essenes, kind of out in the desert, they taught their disciples to love their neighbor and hate their enemy. We kind of do that, don't we? We kind of do that in this day and age. How many of you pray for Harry Reid? How many pray for Nancy Pelosi? And how many pray for President Obama? And I don't mean that Psalm 109 verse 8, you know, oh Lord, let another take his place, may he be removed from office, that one. I'm not talking about that prayer. You ever pray for Michael Moore? You know who leads a lot of prayer? That little squirrel, Justin Bieber. He does. Lindsay Lohan, Miley Cyrus, that girl needs Jesus. Katy Perry, daughter of a pastor's son, now has decided she no longer has any interest in the faith. She needs prayer. Do we pray for these people? I tell you, I want you to love your enemies, and I want you to pray for those who persecute you. This was an absolutely startling, shocking announcement of Jesus. It set everyone on their back. It ran counter to everything they have ever heard. No one has ever told them to love their enemy. And you know the hardest part? Is the people I've just mentioned, they really aren't our enemy. The people you see on TV, they're not your enemy. It's the person at work that makes their life dedication to give you misery. It's the spouse that walked out on you and left you. It is the one who has repeatedly betrayed you or humiliated you. It is the one that is trying with all their might to harm you. Can you imagine having a child take you to court, having one of your children take you to court? Try and take everything away from you. You're supposed to love your enemies. Why? That you and I might be children of the Heavenly Father. Because we want to be like our Father in heaven. That's what He does. What would happen if God annihilated every enemy He had? Jesus said, have you looked around? Have you noticed that He causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good? Have you noticed that He lets the rain come down on those who are the righteous and the unrighteous? Have you known that He blesses people regardless of how they treat Him? And then He says, if you love those who love you, what's the big deal? If you love those who love you, what's the big deal? How hard is it to really bless those who think you're wonderful, whom you agree with all the time, who like you and you like them. And Jesus said, man, the tax collectors do that. Jesus, he's going, hey, you know the ones you hate the most? You know the ones that are traitors to you? The ones you would just as soon that God would take off the face of the earth? The tax collector? They do that. And if you greet only your own people, what's the big deal? If you welcome, accept, and you embrace your own people, it's not just saying hello, it's accepting them into your circle. What's the big deal? How hard is it to get together with like-minded individuals? How hard is it to get together with people that you know will just do everything the way you want it be done? And then he punctuates it with this. I want you to be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. And you look at verse 48 and say, I can't do that. I want you to be complete. I want you to be without blemish. I want you to be pure. I want you to be everything that God expects you to be. I want you, in essence, to be holy because He is holy. I want unrestricted love. I want absolute forgiveness. I want what God pours into you to be pouring into everybody else. How seriously do we take the words of Jesus? Right now in the United States, there are probably between 65 and 70 million people worshiping. What would happen if 65 and 70 million people all of a sudden took these words dead seriously? And that wherever we went, we were agents of forgiveness, agents of love, agents of acceptance, agents of healing, agents of vulnerability, agents of divine experience, rather than behaving like everybody else. Jesus said, I'm calling you to a life unlike any other. I'm calling you to obey me. I'm calling you to live with me and for me. I'm calling you to be generous as my Father has been generous for and to you. I am calling you to be my brothers and sisters. I'm calling you to do what I do. One of the words of Jesus on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He's saying that to people who have whipped his back raw. He's saying that to people who have nailed him to a cross in the most vile and cruel execution ever devised. He is saying it to people who are yelling and screaming and cheering for his death. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, still his enemies, Christ died for us. So you and I have received. This is what you and I are called to do. The question is, are we taking him serious? We have his words. Are we just willing to obey? Because Jesus tells us, this I know. Why? The Bible just told me so. Amen.